3 and verse 9 it says, "Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all, and in all. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your many blessings to us, Lord, and your great salvation. And we just pray your blessings upon us this morning, Lord, through your word. Help us to understand what you desire of us in terms of being thankful, Lord. And help us to learn how to truly be thankful, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And it's clear from this passage and from other scriptures that God wants us as his people, as believers, he wants us to be thankful. That it is his expectation for us, and it is rightly placed upon us that we as God's people would be a thankful people. And we see that in this passage here, but we see it in various other passages in Scripture. Hebrews 13 and verse 15, it says, "By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." And so is that thought, a sacrifice of praise, of giving thanks, that's something that we're to offer continually. In 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18 it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." That we get the sense that God's will for us, if we want to be in God's will, we want to be a thankful people. Ephesians 5 and verses 3 and 4 it says, "But fornication, all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become as saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." And it kind of gives a picture that of all these different things that aren't supposed to be part of what is in our vocabulary, in our speech, that rather giving of thanks, that is to consume much of what we say, or an idea of thankfulness in everything. And as well, we see in verse 20 of that same chapter, it says, "And watch that we are to be giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so it's clear, it's God's will in all things that we are to be thankful, for all things we are to be thankful. That it's not just something that we're thankful once a year on Thanksgiving, but as believers that we want to learn to be thankful all the time, all through the year. And when you think about it, it makes sense that God's people would be thankful, because we see also from the scriptures that the ungodly are characterized as being unthankful. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning of verse 1, it says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." And so we see that as it speaks in the last days, and of course we recognize ourselves to be in the last days, that is part of the characterization, is those that are unthankful. And as well, we see in Romans chapter 1, as it speaks of man's rejection of the witness of God in creation and his subsequent steps towards degradation and depravity, that we see that the descent begins in verse 21, where it says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." And that's what we see from this, is that That's kind of how it starts when a person loses their thankfulness and doesn't honor God as they should, that it can lead them to many things. And we can make that application that not only for the sake of our Christian testimony, but also for our own safety from temptation, that we need to learn to be thankful. Because we consider how our first father and our first mother, how they were surrounded with such abundance, with such diversity, such blessing that they could partake of, yet they were convinced by the devil that God was depriving them of something by saying that of this whole garden full of trees, full of fruit, that you can't eat of this one tree. And too often we can be guilty of the same thing, that we can turn our backs on the blessings God has provided and complain about what we don't have. And so for the sake of God's name and for our own sakes, we need to learn to be a thankful people. But the challenge is with that is that thankfulness is not something that comes naturally to us. That I don't think any of us have ever heard of any infant whose first words were thank you. That's not what comes. And certainly when they're young, that thank you is not usually among their favorite words. That usually those include no or mine or gimme. That's usually what is used much more than thank you. But it's something that with children that we try to teach from when they're very young to say thank you after they've received something from someone. And of course too with that is we want them to say thank you, but then we also want them to say it convincingly, that they actually mean it, that they're not just saying thank you, but that it's genuine. And as well we realize that with a child has a tendency to think, well, if someone gives me something and it isn't quite what I want, then maybe I don't really have to say thank you for it. And of course we know that's not how it should work, but we would recognize that it's for many that would be the basic assumption they might have, and we would, I think, need to realize as well that sometimes even as adults that we kind of think, well, if this isn't what I really wanted, why should I be thankful for it? And so learning how to actually do that. But we see from the context of the passage that we read in Colossians, we see that being thankful is all part of the whole process of us as believers putting off the old man and putting on the new man, where we're not walking in the flesh anymore, we're learning to walk in the Spirit. And so that is what we want to be engaged in. That we know that there's so much in that passage, we've already looked at it a few weeks ago. But just in terms of being thankful, we want to learn that. We want to be able to say thank you for things to others and especially to God, and to truly mean it in our hearts. And we want to have an attitude of gratitude to God and to those around us. And so we recognize that it's not something that necessarily comes naturally to us. It is something that we want to cultivate, something that we want to develop. And so we want to learn to be thankful. And so how do we learn to be thankful? How can we be guided in that? Well, we see from the Scriptures that God has given us certain principles which help us in that. And first of all, in learning to be thankful, we want to recognize from the Scriptures that there is a foundation laid for us that should lead us to be thankful. That we tend to have our thankfulness based on simply the present circumstances, what we have or do not have, what we're experiencing or not experiencing. But we need to realize that no matter what our circumstances might be, no matter what our funds might be or assets or liabilities, that there is still so much for us in the Christian life that gives us reason to be thankful. And so we want to consider just a few. Psalm 30 and verse 4 makes this statement. It says, "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness." And so anytime we remember Well, we call to mind that God is holy. That should lead us to thankfulness. We can think about it. The most false gods that were worshipped through history, we could think, for instance, of the gods of the Greeks and the Romans, that they were fickle, they were flawed, that they were always getting into trouble and fighting amongst each other. And these were gods that were imagined by men, that they were not holy in any sense of the word. Because essentially they were made after the image of the men that invented them, and so were not really much better. But we realize that the one true God is not fickle or flawed, that we can always trust Him to do what is just and right, that He is no respecter of persons, He can't be bribed, He can't be fooled. He is always consistent, and He is and He will always be holy. And of course, we seek through the Spirit to be holy as He is. That where would we be if God was not holy? If we wouldn't know what to expect of Him, and we wouldn't know what He expects from us. That it would just be, we'd wake up one day and think of one, this is what the Lord wants from me, and then things happen, and it's totally different, and it would be so difficult to live and to try to function and try to please Him if He's always changing, if he can't be trusted. But we can trust Him, that He is holy, He will always be holy, and we can be thankful for that. In Psalm 136, verses 1 to 3, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." And it's thought as well that we can be thankful. Not only is God holy, but He is also a God of mercy. His mercy endures forever. And how much do we need His mercy? Many times do we have a fear of the holiness of God because we are so unholy. And we kind of ask what the psalmist asks in another place. He says, "Lord, if Thou shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand?" But the fact that He, with God, there is forgiveness, there is mercy, there is compassion, and there is pity, that He knows our frame, He remembers that we're dust, He knows that we're compassed about with iniquity. How many times are we in need of His mercy each day, and how many times do we fail Him and think, well, this is the end, His judgment is going to fall on me for what I have done, as we failed Him. But yet, as we repent and as we confess our sins, He is merciful. He gives us yet another chance. And how much we should be thankful for His mercy. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15, it says, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." And so we ask, well, what would His unspeakable gift be? That we realize Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That we who were so deserving of His wrath, without strength, we were yet sinners, we were enemies of God, but yet, even in that case, that Christ died for us. How great a gift was given to us, we who were so unworthy to receive it, and yet He gave Himself a ransom for all, that all who come to Him in repentance might receive of that gift. And we realize that none of it at all belongs to us. None of our salvation, none of what we have is of our own merits, that we have Him to thank for it. That we're thankful for the fact that He died for us, the fact that He saved us from the punishment of hell, and He has blessed us with so many spiritual blessings. That it's a thought, when we think about it, if nothing else goes right in our life, if we have a life of misery ever after a point of our salvation, that we still have so much to be thankful for. Maybe not in this life, but definitely in the life to come. And 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14, it says, 2 Corinthians 2:14, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ." It also speaks in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's some in the Christian life that we can be thankful because Christ gives us victory, that sin need not have dominion over us, that through Christ we can be free through those situations and circumstances may seem to overwhelm us. We can be more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And even though sometimes that we can fail and falter a bit, we realize that it's not because of the Lord that we have failure, that it's that He is doesn't tempt us above what we're able, that He will with the temptation give a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. And so when we fail, we realize it's because we fail to look for that way of escape. We fail to be vigilant. We fail to remember that God puts us in a trial that He is certain that we can, by His grace and power, succeed in. And so we want to learn to find that victory, that we don't find it in ourselves, we find it in Him. And every time we experience victory or remember a victory that we've had in our life, we should thank Him for that. And the last of these thoughts concerning the foundation laid for our thankfulness that we want to look at, and this is spoken of in various places in Scripture, but we're going to look at just one of those places. And that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And verse 2, where Paul says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." That as believers, that we should always be thankful for each other, for the fellowship that we can have one with another, that we're not islands. We remember with Elijah that he kind of had this feeling that they've slain your prophets and thrown down thine altars and I'm the only one left and they seek my life. And the Lord said, no, there's many more that are still serving me. And that's something that we can realize and rejoice in, that there are others that are serving, that we can hear about them, we can communicate them. We think of Paul with some of the different things that he was going through when he could hear about these other believers, that he'd had a part in their lives and that they were doing well and the Lord was blessing them, that it was a great encouragement to him. And it's such a blessing to see other believers following the Lord, growing in the Lord. It's such a blessing to have opportunities to fellowship with them. And the fact that God has given us each other, that we are part of His family, that should give us cause as well to be thankful. And so these things lay the foundation of our thankfulness, that we have much to be thankful for no matter what happens in our circumstances. And so we want to keep in mind of those things, and if we're finding things short to be thankful for, that we can always fall back on those things. But from the Scriptures, we see two things. As we read earlier this morning, we see, first of all, God wants us to give in everything, give thanks. And then we also saw that He says, wants us to give thanks always for all things. And so how do we learn to do that? How do we learn, first of all, to give in everything to give thanks? Because we have situations, different things happen where it's not a circumstance that we enjoy, that something happens and it's very difficult, it's unwanted, we never asked for it, but it came anyways. How do we learn to be thankful in that? That it's the idea in that we want to be having a mindset where we're looking for something to be thankful for. Even if it is the thought that it's not as bad as it could have been. That we can think of it even with the door being broken. That it's like, well, it's a sad thing, but it's like, well, okay, it's fixable and nothing was stolen, nothing was broken, nothing was wrecked, and so there's things that we can be thankful for. I recall a story of a minister who was accosted by a thief who pulled a gun on him and demanded his wallet, and so he gave it over to him and he was robbed, but yet afterwards he had time to reflect and he found things to be thankful for in that. He said, well, yes, he took my wallet, but he didn't take my life. For that I can be thankful. And he said, well, he took the money that I had, but I didn't have that much money for him to take, so I can be thankful for that. And then he thought, well, I'm thankful that at least I was the one being robbed and I wasn't the one doing the robbing. And so there's things that we can think of, things that we consider that we can be still be thankful in everything, that there's always something that's a good thing about it, something that we can see that it could have been worse. And sometimes when something happens, we can be focused on what we have lost. But it's something I think it's important for us to turn around and see what do we still have. And look at that and be thankful for the things that we still have, the things we still possess. I remember that when our hard drive crashed in our computer, that it was like, I just kind of looked at it initially. It's like, well, different programs and files and so many pictures of the kids. We thought, well, we've lost them forever. And it was like close to a year's worth of pictures. But then it was kind of a blessing because we started finding in different places where we didn't realize it, but they'd been saved away or we'd sent them to someone else. And so we were able to find all these things again. And so, yes, there was things that we lost, but there was much that we still had. And with each of those things, that we could be thankful for that. And so it's learning to do that, learning to be thankful in everything. But finally, there's the thought of where it says there, where to be thankful always for all things. That when things happen that just are not what we wanted, things have happened that we never asked for, things that we would not ask for our worst enemy happen. That how do we learn to be thankful for all things? And can consider just a few things that have occurred this past year to people that we've known, that we think of the Michelles, where Colette's husband and father of three kids was killed in a car crash and lives turned upside down, and we would think, well, how can we be thankful for that? Can consider as well just time this year of visiting Russ in the hospital and seeing the effects of Lou Gehrig's disease and how it's ravaging his body. And we ask, well, how can we be thankful for those things? And we can think of many other things that happen in this world, that happen to people that we love, happen in our own lives. How can we be thankful for all things? And really, from what I can see from the scriptures, the only way that we can truly learn to be thankful always for all things is by faith. That we don't know why things happen, but we know that they happen for a reason, that God has a reason, that He's not doing it because He's evil or cruel. We know that He's holy and merciful, that He has things happen. And it says in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. That things right now may seem to be very ugly, but we need to have faith that God knows what He's doing and that He will make all things beautiful in His time. That we think in terms of the now, but we need to think in terms of eternity. And realize the eternal work that God seeks to do in us. That He's doing something we're not going to understand, but when we get to the end, it's going to be worth it. And so we want to learn to be thankful for what we consider to be good things in our life, but also what we consider to be bad things in our life. Because in time, they're all going to be used for good in one way or another. And certainly we realize that grumbling and complaining about our lot isn't going to change our lot for the better. That it's best for us to trust God and really to obey God in this, to be thankful, trusting that He will make it clear to us in time. Because in time we'll understand, in time it will testify that God has done all things well. But whether we receive now what we think to be good or what is evil, we need to be thankful for it. And it's something that it's interesting, and I look at it as being a blessing. Just with the times of visiting Russ, it's something where you think of the effects of Lou Gehrig's disease, and I would look at it and say, well, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. it would just be an awful way to die. But in my conversations with Russ, that it was something that he actually expressed that it was a good thing that this was going to be the way that he was going to die. And you would wonder, well, how is that possible? How is that? How would he be able to say that? But he said it in this way. He said, well, if he just died suddenly of a heart attack, he wouldn't have had the opportunity to really look at what the scriptures say, to be able to be walked through and understand what he needed to do to be saved. And he looked at that it was a good thing. It was an opportunity to get that in order, to get his eternal destiny settled. And that it was, if it happened another way, that he might not have had that chance. And so it's something to think of, just even though it's a horrible thing, that God used it for good, and that even now that it's, he's seeing God's mercy, and he has that assurance of heaven. That it's something that we don't see that with so many things, but it's something that we want to learn, that God is doing this for a reason. And sometimes it's, we go through hardship, and it's, God wants us to go through that, so we'll be a testimony to others that have gone through the same thing, that he can use it for good. And we want to be thankful. We want to have that attitude. And even though we don't understand, even though it doesn't make sense, even though we can find it very difficult, that we want to learn to truly be thankful. And that's what the Lord wants to teach us, that it's not something that's going to be easy lessons sometimes, and that's with anything spiritually, that he challenges us, that it's easy to be thankful when everything, you get everything you want, but when things don't happen, and still learning to be thankful, that's where the challenge lies. But we want to realize, again, just the thought, that there is a great foundation laid for our thankfulness in God, of what he has done, who he is, what he has provided us, and just the fact of our salvation, the fact that we're part of his family, that we can have fellowship one with another, that is a great source of our thankfulness. But as well, we realize that because of who he is, because of his control over all things, that he will make all things beautiful in his time, that we learn to be thankful for the bad and the good. And as we do that we be a testimony for him, that we truly put on the new man, that we bring glory to God through our lives, and that through that we might be continually blessed of the Lord with all spiritual blessings. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for all that you are and all that you have done for us, Lord. We just pray you would help us, Lord, to learn to be thankful. We know how much we need to learn that, Lord, for our sakes and for the sake of others, Lord. Just teach us this, Lord. Let us have gratitude for all the things that you have done. And just we pray your blessing and strength upon us in the week to come, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand. We'll turn to one more hymn, number 370.